meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is wholly clean. The story of the Lord washing his disciples' feet is the beginning of the Last Supper story in the Gospel of John. A surprising fact is that John's Gospel says nothing about Jesus giving his disciples the Holy Supper. This is the holiest act of worship, and John does not directly describe it. Neither does John anywhere mention the Lord's command to baptize. Instead, John tells us the story of the Lord washing the disciples' feet. John also records the Lord's discussion of himself as the bread of life in his conversation with Nicodemus about being born of water and of the Spirit. So it seems that the Lord's teaching about being washed involves the same things as baptism and Holy Supper. We can see signs of this in the way the story begins. Very solemnly, the Gospel says that Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father, and that having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Like the service of the bread and wine, Jesus washed his disciples' feet because of how greatly he loved them. The Lord gave us the Holy Supper to remind us of him and of how much he loves us. "Do this in remembrance of me," he said. So in this story, he said to Peter, as he prepared to wash his feet, "Unless I wash thee, thou hast no part with me." The Lord intensely wants us to have a part with him, he in us and we in him. He wants us freely to receive his love and his truth and incorporate them into our whole selves. This is what is meant by taking and eating his bread and wine. We can certainly understand why Peter was shocked when the Lord laid aside his outer garments, wrapped himself with a linen cloth, poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet. This was the lowliest work of a slave, and here was their great teacher stooping down to wash their feet. No wonder Peter exclaimed, "Lord, art thou washing my feet?" And again, "Thou shalt never," the expression is, "not to eternity, wash my feet." Possibly we can relate Peter's feelings to our own lives in the sense of how filthy our moods and states often are. And then to think of the Lord God being close to us, even touching us in such states, is very uncomfortable and seems totally inappropriate. And yet, in those states, we need him most. The fact is, without his presence and his service to us all the time, we would have no other states. So Jesus gently answered Peter, "If I do not wash thee, thou hast no part with me." Put in that light, Simon Peter quickly responded, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." In the internal sense, where the story names the disciple just Peter, the reference is to faith alone. So it is just Peter who draws back from having the Lord wash his feet. But the name Simon Peter conveys faith joined with obedience, Simon being a name derived from a word for hearing and paying attention to the Lord. So we come to the instruction the Lord gave in our text. Jesus says that a person who has already bathed needs only to wash his feet, and then he will be completely clean. The feet represent our external life, our habitual attitudes, points of view, our patterns of speech and action. How do we interact with others on a daily basis? What do we do and say when children want something from us, or when our spouse has something important to talk to us about, or when a coworker or a client or a customer brings us a problem to solve and interrupts what we were working on, or when an attractive person of the opposite sex comes along, or when someone compliments or criticizes us, and so on? What kinds of conversations, activities, and projects do we initiate? All of these things are our feet. Our hands, being a higher part of the body, represent the rational, reflective level of our thought, where our conscience is active. Our head represents our ruling loves and attitudes. Once reformation and regeneration have begun on the higher levels, then the focus becomes the purification of the natural level of our lives. This is an encouraging teaching. It shows that we can have a measure of cleanness inside, even though we still find various kinds of filth in our day-to-day lives. Jesus said to the disciples, "And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who was betraying him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." This teaching also helps us focus on the fact that by struggling to clean up our responses to situations and make better choices in the things we spend time on, we are doing the work of regeneration. Progress may seem very slow or even backwards at times, and the issues largely the same things over and over. Often they are petty things, and yet petty as they are, we keep falling back into them. But this is the work. Battling with our bad habits is the way to wash our feet, so it is not petty. In the long run, if we persevere, it is heroic. It is noble, even though it is humbling. Just as Jesus humbled himself to wash his disciples' feet and even to be arrested and crucified, and in so doing showed the greatness and majesty of his love. The first step in the process of regeneration is to bathe our hands and our head. But as divine providence points out, the internal man, the head and the hands, is not reformed merely by knowing and understanding these things, just by thinking about right and wrong, but by willing what knowledge, understanding, and wisdom teach. The doctrine outlines how we make progress. First, when we do not will evil, because it is from hell, and we do will good, because it is from heaven. Now we are standing at the doorstep out of hell. This is a state where we still enjoy a lot of counterproductive, hurtful things, but we have learned that evils are sins and barriers against the Lord. We realize that evils do not pay in the eternal perspective, so we are turning our eyes away from the seductions of hell and trying to look toward a heavenly life. The next stage is when we want to stop doing the foolish and unhappy things we have been doing. We want to change some patterns of life. Now the doctrine says we are outside of hell, but not yet in heaven, which we see above us. At this point, having the determination to live a better life, our head and our hands are clean. And this is no small accomplishment. Think how many people in the world today seem to have no principles. They are easily pushed around by changing opinions and circumstances. But with the word for the new church, we can have strong ideals. When we have determined, for example, to support the cleanness and chastity of marriage, whether or not we are married, and we have begun to notice some of our habits that go against this ideal, and we want to stop them, cleanness is starting to come into our lives. It is essential that our internal be bathed first and the external by means of it. We have to act religiously on principle in avoiding evils, or else we are just avoiding them for worldly and selfish reasons, such as to avoid disease or disgrace. Jesus said, "Cleanse first the inside of the cup and the bowl, so that the outside may be clean also." But to really establish and consolidate the progress we have made, we absolutely must follow through with our determination to make changes in our daily life. Quoting from our lesson from Divine Providence, "Unless a person does that which he wills, there is within him the failure to will, which eventually becomes the lack of will." Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." Here is another important, encouraging doctrine. Preventing lusts and thoughts from arising inside of us is not our responsibility. It is useful to be aware of them, watch out for them, and not deny that they are there. But our job, our military objective as soldiers for the Lord, is to control their expression and to guard against fantasizing and encouraging them. That is all the Lord requires of us. The Lord is very good to us. We know so little about what He is doing and even what His goals for us are. The Lord said to Simon Peter, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." If we work with Him, He and He alone removes the roots of evil within us. The Lord cannot and will not purify us without our cooperation, as if from ourselves. If Peter had refused, the Lord would not have forced him to have his feet washed. But the more we work with Him, acting as if from ourselves, but looking to Him for help and following His example, the more He purifies us inside and out. If there is a desire and striving to follow the Lord in a person's will, the doctrine says, his love is being perpetually cleansed and purified from day to day. The Lord makes it possible for us to follow His example with a more and more willing heart, humbly serving our neighbors with love, overlooking and excusing their trespasses, spiritually washing their feet. May the Lord bless us with determination and hope, with honesty and light in our efforts to prepare ourselves for His supper, even to live with Him and be part of His family forever. Amen.